Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. Got a great show for you lined up. I'm Doug Hagman, together with Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, coming at you from our studios in Northwest Pennsylvania. Can you hear me?
Cord.
Oh yeah, it's hanging down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. For those of you there it is, right there. Yeah. For those of you listening and not knowing what that was about, that was just about a wardrobe malfunction. Thank Janet Jackson. No, just kidding. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Yeah, I don't have the. It was just moments before I realized that the microphone was not connected properly, and it set forth this just a chain of events that created this havoc and chaos in the studio. But that's all right.
We did some in studio interviews today.
Yes, we did.
And it was a lot of fun. So some things got moved around, and from microphones to cameras, so we had to kind of reset back up.
People were touching my buttons.
Yeah, people were.
Somebody touched
Eric,
you.
I don't know if that came through on air, but okay. But we had the honeybee in here, and it was a lot of fun. We did an interview. They're working on a project, and we did that today. I know you did. The Keith Hansen show this morning.
Yeah, in fact, I missed my usual show. In fact, I did not do my 9 o'clock show this morning, so if anyone's looking for it, it's not there. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, did you do Pat Campbell this morning?
No, I didn't. I just did Keith Hansen from 9 to 10, or 9:15 to 10, roughly, and then there were some other issues that I had to take care of that it really comes with the hazards of this business. Truth telling in this, you see, when you tell the truth, what happens is people will come after you, and that's okay. Enjoy the flack. Enjoy the flack because you know you're over the target. And speaking of people who are over the target, Laura Loomer, if you haven't been following her, you know, it's a shame how quickly the Las Vegas shooting seems to, the interest in the facts behind the Las Vegas shooting with many seems to have just fallen by the wayside. Not so for Laura Loomer, our guest right now, who is actually boots on the ground in Las Vegas, doing what journalists should do, and that is searching for the facts. With that, Laura Loomer, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's great to have you. Now, Laura's got just an impressive resume. You were with Project Veritas, undercover with Project Veritas for some time, and you've got a lot of experience in the field. Is that right?
Yeah, I worked for Project Veritas for about 3 years or so, and then I left and I joined the Rebel, and I was with the Rebel for a couple months, and then I just decided to go independent.
That's good. It's fantastic. Now, I know you can't see us, but we can see you, and you look great, and you sound great.
Thank you.
I'll tell you, this is such an unbelievable subject. You came on our radar a while ago, but specifically in this particular case, mm-hmm. When you single-handedly, I believe this to be the case, single-handedly caused the Sheriff's Department and the FBI to change the timeline, that's when all hell broke loose in terms of how they were treating you, in my view anyway. And correct me if I'm wrong. But you held them to account, and of course they had to admit that they were wrong or they misstated, not telling the truth, whatever it might be. And then, of course, from there, the fun began. Mm-hmm. So looking at this, you know, I kind of want to, Joe and I kind of want to let you have the floor here. We have a pretty wide audience, pretty vast audience. Right now, I think 41 countries are listening, at least, members they're in, and we're on Global Star Radio Network, and, we've got a number of others on the different venues. But now, having said that, where do you want to start, with respect to, what you've uncovered in Las Vegas.
Well, the thing I really want to emphasize is that I'm not bankrolled by the mainstream media, right? I don't get a big paycheck from George Soros or MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, right? I began my investigation in New York, and I was just working independently, right? And it just goes to show you the evolution of citizen journalism and the impact that everyday Americans are just citizen reporters who aren't necessarily employed by the mainstream media, how big of an impact they can have on a news cycle or an investigation. And that's what really inspired me as well to come out to Las Vegas, is because I was breaking all of these stories, getting all these scoops, causing a lot of controversy and shaking things up for the FBI and the LVMPD, but I was all the way in New York. So I thought, wow, I could be so much more effective if I actually come to Las Vegas and report here on the ground. And I hope that my work and just kind of like what I do, I use a cell phone and my laptop, and that's pretty much it. Like, I don't have a lot of, you know, high-tech fancy equipment or a production team that follows me around. I want everyday Americans to know that they too can do this.
Absolutely. And you've been doing such a fantastic job, Laura. I want to ask you this. Since you've gotten to Las Vegas, we know that, as my dad just said, you introduced evidence that changed the timeline of Paddock, yeah, the shooter's stay at the hotel. How were you treated differently by law enforcement and other members of the press after you made that discovery and went to the press conference and asked the sheriff about it?
So when I went to the press conference, I was there with another independent journalist by the name of Mike Tokes, who was on the ground kind of assisting me. And we were shunned. The mainstream media, they were laughing at us. Even the local reporters, they were kind of giggling when they saw us walk into the press room, because people knew who I was, right? People knew who I was before I went into the press conference, because my reporting was getting international coverage. And they just kind of disrespected us and didn't really take us seriously. And then when I asked the question, obviously Sheriff Joe Lombardo became very agitated and tried to shout me down and tell me that I needed some decorum, right, for asking a question, which is what you're supposed to do at a press conference. You're supposed to ask questions. And for him to try and make it seem like I was disrespectful or out of line because I asked a question, it's just absurd to me. Because if you've ever been to any presser, whether it be a White House presser or any type of press conference, if you want to get your question in, you have to be assertive. And that's what I was. I was very assertive.
Yeah, so, you were.
He tried to imply that your question, like, he tried to imply that everybody basically took a number and you went ahead of your number.
Yeah, and that's not true, because I waited, and the person whose question he was answering, they were done. It was right after they finished, and I knew they were done, and then I inserted my question. So you have to be very quick.
Yeah.
And I had attempted to ask questions multiple times before I asked that question, and I didn't get it in because other people were just quicker. And so you got to be fast. And I'm not apologizing. And to be quite frank, even if I were to have interrupted or crashed his press conference, I wouldn't apologize, because I came to the press conference with facts. I exposed an inconsistency and a lie within the timeline, and I forced the narrative to change on live television. And there's nothing to be apologetic for, right?
Exactly. And I loved that. I loved your lack of perceived decorum, at least on their part. But I love the fact that you got in their faces and said, you know, well, what's the deal? So that's wonderful. Now, I know that your latest question is about the legal status of Jesus Campos. But before we go there, can we back up a little bit? Laura, what do we know for sure? I mean, this is one of the most incredulous I've been an investigator for 30 years.
You don't know anything.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
Okay. So we know that a lot of people were shot and killed, and we know that. And we know that there was a mass casualty event on the 1st of October. But we don't even know if Stephen Paddock was the shooter. We don't know.
Exactly. That's my point. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
The only thing that we know is that 58 people were killed. We don't even know really how a lot of these people died. I mean, I've heard that some of the people died from being trampled, from panicking, and other injuries sustained just trying to escape a mass shooting. But we're not getting any autopsy reports. We're not seeing the different type of wounds, the trajectory that would really help establish whether or not there were multiple shooters, right? We're not getting an analysis of the type of wounds, whether they were shot up close or from far away. You'd really be able to tell how things went down that night. And so right now, the only thing that we know is that 58 people died and that supposedly a man by the name of Stephen Paddock had a bunch of guns in the on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay. And they're saying that he's the shooter. But we don't really have any evidence besides the pictures of his dead body in a room that he really is the shooter, because they're not releasing surveillance footage. They're not releasing information that would really prove to the public that, okay, this guy acted alone.
Laura, I want to ask you this. One of the latest developments in the case released either yesterday or the day before was the fact that Stephen Paddock had a computer that apparently was missing a hard drive. Do we know if that computer was in the hotel room in his house? Did the information of where the computer was been released?
It's just so funny to me because, first of all, the police said, okay, we've confiscated his laptop, right? We've confiscated the electronics. We're going to his house. We're looking at his computers. We're analyzing things. And then they say, oh, we don't know. I mean, there's no digital footprint. There's nothing on his laptop that suggests that he was involved with ISIS or whatever. And now they're telling us nearly a month later that the laptop that was found inside the hotel room was missing its hard drive. I mean, don't you think that that is motive, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's motive. I mean, if somebody has a hard drive and it's missing and there were multiple shooters and someone, you know, took the hard drive, and that's not an easy thing to do, to take a hard drive out of a modern day laptop. I mean, you have to kind of disassemble things.
Right.
So why would you take a hard drive unless you wanted to hide or make sure that no one ever saw what was on that hard drive? And who uses a laptop without a hard drive?
Is that even possible?
Is that even possible? I don't know. I'm not a technical girl. I mean, this isn't a question for me, right? This is a question for those very intelligent investigators on the ground, right? That our taxpayers are paying for. So they're not providing us with answers. And look, the same day that this guy's hard drive was announced as being missing, the brother gets charged with possession of child porn. I mean, sorry, I'm just not buying it. I'm not saying that his brother is innocent or that his brother is guilty of being like a sexual offender, but it's just, those are two facts that are connected with each other. Like finding child porn on someone's laptop and then having a hard drive go missing, it sounds like a really good way to make sure that nobody would ever talk to anybody or be seen in public ever again. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but if you really want to commit character assassination or make sure that somebody, like a grown adult, is kept away from the media and not able to talk to anyone and they're totally ostracized even by like the worst criminals ever, you're going to accuse them or charge them with child pornography or sex crimes against children.
That's a good point. Now, that brother was in an assisted living center. I'm not even sure what that means. I mean, I know what it means.
I think it's like a facility that has nurses available, but it's not per se a nursing home. It's like apartments inside of a big building where there is a patient.
What? So what? We don't know anything about Stephen Paddock or his laptop or what's on his laptop, but they're telling us that the brother who's in some retirement assisted living center is getting charged with child pornography.
Yeah.
I mean, why are they even looking into the brother and his habits, whether he's using child porn or not? Why don't we get any answers like this about Stephen Paddock? I want to know if Stephen Paddock liked child porn, right? I want to know what was on Stephen Paddock's laptop. I don't care what's on his brother's laptop, right? I mean,
exactly.
If he really is a sexual offender, that's great. Get another one off the streets. It sounds like the whole family is involved in crime and degeneracy, but I want to know what was on Stephen Paddock's laptop.
Exactly, as we all do. Take us where you want to go, what you want the public, your followers and those who have perhaps never even heard of you, which I can't believe. By the way, you can follow Laura Loomer at Laura Loomer on Twitter. But where do you, I mean, there's so much you've done, and we thank you for it. Joe and I thank you for it. Our listeners thank you for it. Viewers thank you for it. Working any way addressing any subjects you want to. What would you like people to know? Because you walked the grounds, what was it, last night or early this morning?
Last night. Got a little dark, but I was in the area, and right before I was having dinner with a source, and I thought, well, I have 45 minutes or so, I might as well head over to the place of the attack. And I noticed that the barricades had been taken down since the last week I was here. And so I walked inside, and I was looking to see if there were bullet holes in the ground, or if there was still blood, or just any evidence, right, of a shooting taking place. And there were no bullet holes. I couldn't find any bullet holes. They've obviously cleaned things up. It looked as if the ground had been repaved.
Yep, they painted it.
It looks like it was paved over with a really big construction truck to make sure that, like, everything was an even surface, right? And I just kind of wanted to show people what it looked like and ask questions. I saw some homeless people who were there who said that they were sleeping behind the bushes the night of the shooting. And it's just weird. It's just really weird how supposedly, you know, what, thousands of rounds of ammo were shot, and there's no trace of bullets or holes anywhere.
Yeah, it is very strange. Laura, I want to ask you this. I want to go back to the mainstream media, the press conferences you were a part of. I saw a huge problem with the lack of questions that the mainstream media was asking about this case. I don't believe they were asking any relevant questions. I don't believe they were asking any questions that were going to lead anywhere. Was there anything going on behind the scenes? Were the reporters talking to each other? It almost seemed to me like an order was given from the top down.
An order was given. It was given. You're right. You're absolutely correct about that. The media here in Las Vegas, they've been told, at least I've had confirmation from at least an individual who works at one of the major cable stations here in Las Vegas, that they are not to criticize Sheriff Lombardo or MGM, Mandalay Bay, right? Because one, they don't want to lose source access to the LVMPD and Sheriff Joe Lombardo. And then they also don't want to lose advertising from the casinos. What people don't understand is that the casinos in Las Vegas support the entire economy. Nothing in Las Vegas survives without the economy and, like, the income that is generated by the casinos. And when you have a really big casino conglomerate like MGM that has so many ties to law enforcement, and they just kind of wedge themselves into every aspect of society here in Las Vegas, You're going to have this culture of intimidation and, like, self-censorship within these newsrooms, because reporters are not going to want to lose their chances of a promotion or harm the financial future of the news station. And they've admitted this. So it's very concerning. And that's why I think that more people need to support independent journalists like myself and, you know, other people who have been investigating this, because we may have an agenda, like, I may be conservative, right? But my reporting is not influenced on or by how somebody is paying me, because I'm not getting paid by some, you know, mainstream media organization that's saying, oh, you can't criticize the Clintons, you can't criticize the Democrats, you can't criticize the casino because we're not going to get paid. I'm totally unfiltered and I say whatever I want. I mean, that's one of the main reasons why I resigned from my previous job, was because I wanted to report on Hillary Clinton and I was told I couldn't, right? So I want to say what I want to say, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And no one's going to tell me what I can and can't say.
Absolutely.
I love it, by the way. And if I can just jump in here, just, you can ask your question. Just support Laura Loomer. Go to her Twitter feed, right, the pin tweet there. It's got a link to how you can support her and her efforts. Go ahead.
And also on Hagman Report, the show page for today, there, right, a link to her PayPal is right there on the write-up. I want to ask you this. We obviously know there's a cover-up going on. Is it separate between, is MGM doing their own cover-up and the FBI, law enforcement, doing their own cover-up, or is this a coordination working together?
It's really funny, because now that the lawsuits are starting to flow in and people are starting to sue and realize that they have the potential to make millions of dollars out of, like, lawsuit settlements with MGM, you see a tension between the LVMPD and MGM. So MGM released a statement last week when I was out here, and they had said, oh, well, we don't think that the LVMPD timeline is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because they realize that this false information that's been given to the public and this constant you know, change with the timeline and all the details and the facts of the key witness and all these things that are popping up, they're going to have serious liability when people sue them. And they realize that. I mean, there's no way they're going to win a lawsuit. So
yeah,
I think that it's now like a scramble to see how much of their own like assets they can protect, because I mean, God, it's gonna
That's the thing.
A lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, maybe even billions. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but just with all of the inconsistencies and the fact that they created a gun-free zone and they could possibly be hiring like illegal aliens as security guards and.
Yeah, that's something you found out too. By the way, that negligence or the negligence lawsuits potential there, to me is sickening. But one of the latest things, we don't, Jesus Campos, the fact that he zipped off to Mexico,
no license.
Holy cow.
Security guard.
Yeah, that, you were the first person to show that, hey, there's no record of Jesus Campos, as a security guard. And I know the licensing statute. I know the licensing statutes for PIs and security guards.
You have to be licensed. And if you're right. In the state of Nevada, if you are working in a casino and you're doing security in a casino, you have to have a sheriff's card. And
right.
So I want to know, did Jesus Campos, who's only been working for Mandalay Bay for 3 months since June or whatever, does he have a sheriff's card? Did Sheriff Joe Lombardo sign off on a sheriff's card for a guy who's starting to look like an illegal alien? Or does he not have a sheriff's card, right? Does he not have a sheriff's card? Since he doesn't also have the proper registration or credentials to be a security guard. I mean, that's not a conspiracy. This isn't me just going after Jesus Campos to be a bully. This is a factual statement. Jesus Campos does not have credentials to be a security guard. You can look this up. There's a database online. He's not even listed. He's been scrubbed. I broke this exclusively. He's been scrubbed from the MGM official employee database called Workday.
Wow.
Okay. So I really want to know, is this why they're hiding him? And it seems to be very suspicious to me, given the fact that he's not credentialed. He's only been there for 3 months. And then just days after the shooting, when he's a key witness to the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, and they still don't know who's involved, they're letting this guy drive to Mexico with a bullet wound in his legs. I mean, this is everything that they're telling us. I mean, who knows? Maybe this guy wasn't even shot, right? I mean, who is Jesus Campos? We're really just going off of everything that law enforcement and the FBI are telling us, but I don't trust them. I mean, you shouldn't trust them. And I'm not anti-police by any means whatsoever, but I just don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, how do I even know this guy really exists? How do I really know that a security guard was shot inside Mandalay Bay? How do we know these are factual statements when the other statements that have been presented as factuous have turned out to be lies?
Yeah, you're right. And you have sources, and I've talked to many employees. What's their if you can share with anybody you've talked to? What's their consensus?
Well, I've spoken to a lot of people inside. Like, a lot of my sources are just MGM employees or Mandalay Bay employees, right? And that's how I was able to obtain a lot of this information that I've obtained. But some of them are telling me, yeah, like Jesus Campos, I don't know him personally, but other people do. And, you know, just, oh, he hasn't really been working here that long. And which is true. That's all backed up.
Sure.
And then I just started asking a couple other security guards who I've been in contact with and people who work for MGM properties. Yeah. So what is the culture at MGM? What is the training like? Do you guys get a lot of training? Have you noticed that they are really lax with their E-Verify program? Do you know anyone who's illegal working here? And I kid you not, I have multiple people in security, but one individual in particular said, some of my coworkers have admitted to me that they are illegal aliens.
In security?
In security at MGM, at an MGM property, yes. This is Mandalay. I'll just say Mandalay.
Oh my word! Okay, the implications
and
are staggering.
They said, I don't want to. Obviously, I'm not going to reveal who my source is, but they have said, yeah. I mean, they're nice. They're nice people. Like, we've talked to them before. I've had conversations with them. But my source and other individuals as well in other departments have told me yes. Like, my coworkers have told me that they're illegal. Some of them. So.
That's incredible. And the implications, again, I cannot stress enough, in that, especially in that gaming industry.
Exactly. And it was backed up today as well. Sorry to interrupt you, but there was a picture. They gave me this information, and then when I started talking to some other employees about it as well, they said, oh, let me take this picture for you. I have this picture. Let me send it to you. It's in the workroom at Mandalay. Let me go take a picture for you. And they sent me this picture, and I kid you not, it's a flyer from the union in which MGM employees belong to. It's like some culinary union that is that belongs to MGM, right? And they're literally advertising free classes to illegal aliens inside the employee workroom in MGM properties that say what to do if ICE knocks at your door. They're trying to teach illegal aliens how to avoid being deported. And then they also, you can go on my Twitter and look at this. And at the bottom, it says lawyers will be in attendance for Q&A. Who is paying for this? Who is paying for illegal aliens to attend seminars on MGM's dime? I'm assuming it's on MGM's dime to learn how to avoid deportation.
Laura, the owner of MGM, it was either the owner or the CEO a few months ago, encouraged people to donate to CARE and other left-leaning organizations. So
it wasn't even a few months ago. It was literally one day up until the shooting. The deadline ended September 30th.
Wow, I didn't know
that. This up. Yeah, he was using shareholder money and matching funds from employees who wanted to donate to groups like CARE, which is a terrorist organization, right? SPLC, which goes after right-wingers all the time, and the FBI actually had to cut its ties with SPLC because they were involved in, like, aiding domestic terrorists, right? The Chinese government, like, they're literally supporting communists. They're donating their money to Islamic terrorists, domestic radical Soros-funded terrorists, and the Chinese government. I mean, it really makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
Getting back to the actual investigation, are there any more press conferences scheduled? Do we know if there's going to be a disclosure of information?
They canceled all the press conferences. They said no more. No more press conferences.
Because
last week, Sheriff Lombardo, they said no more press conferences.
Why?
Why do you think? Because they don't want people asking questions.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they don't want Laura Loomer. They don't want me coming into their press conference and dropping truth bombs on them and embarrassing them on live television because they realize their fake narrative and their cover-up is unraveling in front of the entire country.
I guess they couldn't have they couldn't say we're going to have a press conference except for Laura Loomer and...
Oh, they did try that.
So, yeah. But
it's not just me. Like, it's getting to a point where people who are literally paid to turn an eye are saying, okay, like, I can't even look away because it's so obvious that this is a cover-up.
Yeah, even Tucker Carlson did a 10-minute segment yesterday on Fox News exposing and asking these questions. Do we know if there's going to be a disclosure of information? Like you said, the autopsy reports, the types of bullets that were used, or how many people were injured, how, and how they were...
No, we're just going to...
As you've ever seen before.
And the
coroner's office is on lockdown. I mean, Jason Goodman from... I don't know if you're familiar with Jason Goodman from Crowdsource the Truth, but we are working together out here for a couple days and he was here last week and he went to the coroner's office and they're on lockdown. They have armed guards out front. Mm-hmm. And even the woman who he interviewed who works there said, yeah, I've never seen this before. They've never ever had us on lockdown or, you know, we're not allowed to answer questions from the media. So look, that's your evidence. If you want to know whether there's multiple shooters or whether people were shot on the ground or how people died, you'll get the autopsy reports and you'll see, okay, this person had a bullet hole here, wherever in the head. And there's different types of bullets and wounds that look like they were shot up close or far away. I mean, there's no denying autopsy results.
That's right. And I want to point out our guest is Laura Loomer. Follow her on Twitter at Laura Loomer. One thing that I really liked that she posted, nothing to do with this specifically this investigation, invest in people who invest in you. Keep that in mind as you're taking information from Laura Loomer as she's busy on the ground in Las Vegas. And keep that in mind for all citizen journalists. Okay.
It's important. Invest in terms of journalism, right? And I'm not even talking about myself. Whether you like me and my work or you like other independent journalists, invest in people who invest in you, okay? I am invested in the American people. I'm invested in finding out the truth. The people who work for the mainstream media, while there are a few really good people who work for them, like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. Most of the people in the mainstream media do not have you in their best in their best interest. They don't care. They're not invested in telling you the truth because you aren't paying their bills, right? They're getting paid by CEOs who have big time agendas. So,
Laura, I want to ask you a question. Yesterday, you released a video, and I saw you get a lot of criticism, which I didn't quite understand.
It was a couple of days ago.
Well, maybe 2 days ago. And you got some criticism because the video was short, and it looked like a video of a video. But what it looked like is somebody laying on the ground inside the Mandalay Bay and police officers with their guns out, walking around. Do you have any more inside info or background info or context for that video?
Look, I obtained this video. There was an individual who was working at Mandalay Bay, and they saw a body when police officers started walking towards them and asking people to leave. They were directing people to go to the Michael Jackson Theater. You could hear this all in the police scanner, right? They were telling people, okay, get them to go to the Michael Jackson Theater. And this individual filmed the video because they saw a body and they wanted to get it on camera. And they were scared because they saw police officers coming towards them with guns. And they were saying, like, oh, put your cameras away, like, put your stuff away. And they didn't even want to come forward and give this video, right? So why are people going crazy and saying, oh, that's not a body, or oh, this video is edited? Someone was scared. They were scared for their life and they didn't know what to do. They just wanted to film a body on camera because they saw a body on the floor. And I'm not saying, okay, well, this proves that there's multiple shooters. This changes this, just changes that. I'm just saying, if there was a body on the floor of the casino, okay, and there's cameras everywhere, a camera above, to the side, right behind, which I took pictures of, why aren't we getting the whole story about why there was a body on the floor of the casino? Did other people die? And I think people are focusing too much on the body instead of the end of the video, in which there's a statement from the representative at the LVMPD, and I asked them, I said, with another journalist as well, did anybody else die inside Mandalay Bay the night of the shooting besides Stephen Paddock? And their wording was very weird. They said there was no officer-involved shooting. That's not my question. My question is, did somebody else die inside Mandalay Bay besides Stephen Paddock? And notice the wording. I show that there's a body on the floor. It's very clear that it's a body. You can see the two legs and the white sheet.
Yep.
And then their statement is there was no officer involved shooting.
Yeah, and you didn't get a chance to, I mean, there's no follow-up to re-ask that question. It was pretty abrupt.
I wanted to release that video actually a week ago, but they canceled the press conferences, and I was planning on, you know, bringing it and asking them up front. But I just think it's very weird that they're using the wording no officer involved shooting when that's not my question. I asked you, did someone die on the floor? And it's really clear it's a body. I mean, people can say whatever they want. They could say the video is edited. But I'm just presenting you with a video. I didn't pay anybody for this video. I didn't get paid for this video. I just think that it's of the public's interest to know that a body was covered on the floor inside Mandalay Bay the night of the shooting.
Got it.
Yeah, you also didn't take the video, and it is obvious from whoever did that they were frightened.
Absolutely.
Of even being seen videotaping.
Exactly. They weren't even holding it up. They were holding it to the side. And they only filmed for 10 seconds. I mean, they were very scared, obviously.
Okay. Now, you were outside last night and approached by a police officer who told you to move along, basically. What'd they do to that parking lot? They, as you said, coming earlier, they kind of graded over that parking lot.
Yeah.
And then what other changes have they made? Have they altered any other areas?
I don't know. It looks, the VIP area and the stage area is still off limits, but the parking lot, which had been off limits too, that was finally open. So it really does appear that there was some type of truck that came in and kind of resurfaced the area, or did some type of collection of evidence and just kind of covered things up. But I mean, look, these police officers have some nerve. You see the way that guy treated me on camera yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I was simply asking him, hey, did you guys go over this area with a truck? When do you plan on opening it up? Or is that blood over there? Are those blood piles? Or what are these big piles of fluid and stains? And he just kind of laughs and gets, you know, really nasty with me. But they're going to have a serious issue on their hand. The LVMPD, Sheriff Joe Lombardo, like, he thinks he's going to win re-election, but no amount of money in the world is going to re-elect him if the people aren't going to vote for him. And I don't understand how any sane individual who lives in Las Vegas would even want to continue supporting the LVMPD or Sheriff Joe Lombardo after they've been lied to and disrespected by the people they're supposed to trust the most.
Exactly. Now, I know we've kept you longer than you agreed to. We foregoed the bottom of the hour network break. And thank you for your time. First of all, are we ever going to know the truth, do you think? And the second part of that question is, what can we best do to assist you in finding out the truth?
I mean, who knows? I'm doing my best, right? I'm trying to find out the truth, but I don't know if we're ever going to find out the truth. I mean, look, I find that there's a lot of similarities between the JFK assassination and the way things played out there and the characters involved and then this own Las Vegas investigation. And I find it to be so strange, right? You have the JFK files that are being released, and I can't help but draw so many similarities between Lee Harvey Oswald and Stephen Paddock and, you know, just...
Yeah.
Do you follow? I mean, do you get the sense, too, that there's
much.
A lot of similarities here and...
Yeah.
When people ask about whether we're going to know the truth, I say, okay, well, is it going to take us, 54 years to find out? Or is the government going to, classify these documents as well? What are we going to know? And the perfect way to distract people from finding out the truth about what's turned into a really big conspiracy or mystery is to release information about another mystery or conspiracy that people have been wanting information about. So,
you know, you've got good instincts, investigative instincts, and journalistic instincts. And I know this calls for speculation, but what are your instincts telling you what went on, if you even want to go there, or the motive for the cover up, if you want to go there? It's up to you. I mean,
it keeps changing. I don't think that ISIS was wrong for claiming responsibility. I think that there definitely is an ISIS angle, whether or not Stephen Paddock was some type of informant and he was, you know, undercover working with ISIS, or whether he really was a member of ISIS himself. I really do believe that there is an ISIS element to this, because ISIS does not take responsibility for things they're not responsible for. But now the question is, how was Stephen Paddock involved with ISIS? Was he really a guy who converted to Islam and joined ISIS, or was he working with the government to, sell guns or traffic children or, launder money for ISIS? What is his connection? I think that what the government doesn't want us to find out is how Stephen Paddock was tied to ISIS.
Interesting. Okay. Were the electronics really scrubbed? The data from the electronics scrubbed from the concert goers and others? Do you know?
Yeah, from the confiscated phones.
I mean, there were reports. There were several people who said that their devices were scrubbed. I mean, I'm not going to say yes or no, it wasn't. I mean, I haven't met anyone yet who's had their device scrubbed, but I do trust, I trust Alex Jones, I trust Paul Joseph Watson, and I trust their reporting. And if Paul Joseph Watson is reporting that individuals had their phones scrubbed, I trust that. I believe that Paul Joseph Watson is a very reliable source.
Yeah, we got two independent, non-related people, two accounts that I know of that had their phones, their cell phones confiscated, got them back, and the footage from that period was taken, was removed. But so that's kind of independent verification as well.
Lord,
go ahead.
I want to ask you this: how long are you planning on staying in Las Vegas?
Well, I've been here all week. I'm here till the end of the week. I may come back again. I don't know. I mean, it really depends. I was hoping to come out here and speak to individuals, and I was hoping that while I was out here, maybe they would announce a change in press conference details, but it's hard because they're really making an active effort to cut off all flow of information. And so I've just been meeting with people and trying to gather more information, but I will be going back to New York at the end of this week, but I will come back, you know, if I need to come back, or if they decide to open up the floor for more questions and something drastic happens, I will come back to Las Vegas.
Would you urge our listeners to pressure the LVMPD
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I'm doing my best. I tried pressuring Sheriff Joe on Twitter and he blocked me. The same day that I released my news story about Jesus Campos and his social security card number, the sheriff blocked me. So why would you block a member of the press on media unless, one, they were threatening your life, or two, they were starting to really freak you out with the truth, right? It's not like I'm trolling to be a nasty person. I'm presenting him with facts.
Right.
And you're asking questions that millions of Americans...
I'm not being a troll. I'm being a journalist, an investigative journalist, and he blocked me.
Well, you've been very generous with your time. Laura, you've got the floor for as much time as you want. Anything that you want to... Anything we haven't covered that you want to talk about, that you want to mention, that you want to promote, or you know, it's up to you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, I recently I became independent, and all of my work is 100% crowdsourced at the moment. And so if you do like my work, and if you aren't familiar with some of the other things I've done, I do a lot of ambush guerrilla journalism videos, and I confront people. Like, I've confronted the Clintons, Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Clinton at book signing events, and I like holding people accountable and catching them off guard when they're least expecting it, right? Stuff that the mainstream media would never do. So if that's what you like seeing, you know, I would encourage you to follow me, check out my work, and consider supporting it. But
okay.
I hope that I can inspire more people to do this type of work, because really all you need is a Twitter account, a Facebook, and your cell phone. I mean, I do everything with my cell phone. I don't have a cameraman or fancy equipment. I literally make everything from my cell phone.
It's amazing in this day and age. I'll tell you, you're dangerous, but I'm glad you're on our side. Seriously. We have a lot of respect for your work, your investigative work product, and we really appreciate your tenacity.
Thanks.
God bless you. Thank you for your gift of time tonight. We really appreciate it. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks. That was Laura Loomer, reporting from Las Vegas.
Laura Loomer on Twitter. Make sure you follow her. She's got about 100,000 followers, and
she's very relevant.
She's making a difference. And what she said is so important, that if you have, you know, a social media account, if you have a cell phone, and you have the will, you can go and do the exact same thing. You can go ask questions. You can get involved. You can try to make a difference for the truth. And as we see by her example, in this case specifically, Las Vegas, you know, she's been making a huge difference, to the point where we're getting, you know, timelines changed. We know Paddock stayed at the Mandalay Bay multiple days before the police said he even checked in, that there was the receipt for the room service for two people ordering food there, not just one. So much. And it is so important, especially in an investigation like this, when everything is being covered up, everything's being censored, and nobody's being told the truth, to have some of that truth be forced out of them because of citizen journalism, and to know that anybody can have that same effect with minimal technology, should inspire a lot of people to be able to go and do the same. But, you know, it's frustrating to not all further press conferences are canceled. I mean,
well, Keith Hansen this morning and I were talking about this, and you know, he started off by saying, well, let's get into some conspiratorial areas, and by the end of it, he didn't mean anything negative by it or pejorative by it, but it's interesting how it's interesting how this is shaping up. Because of his law enforcement interaction and background, I mean, what's the motive? What would be the motive here for the silence?
For the silence of the shooting, not the motive of the attack itself, but the motive for the silence, is what you're asking. Because
why
it would be one? It'd have to be one and the same. Because why? I mean, when have we seen in terror attacks? I mean, remember 9/11, they hate us for our freedom. You know, we're given a thousand different motives and reasons why. All of them, arguments can be made to try to support their facts. even in the San Bernardino, when the information was reluctant to come out at first, it came out after about 24 hours.
But 24 hours, not 24 days.
Exactly. So there must be some kind of vested interest with the authorities not to have the motive come out, because maybe it compromises them. Maybe, you know, what people are saying, that he was some kind of government operative in any capacity, from a random Area 51 worker to, you know, a drug smuggler Barry Seal type. Obviously, there's a vested interest for the federal government not to have want information to come out.
Yeah, and you know, there was tremendous to have the honeybee, Melissa Zachariah, and Anthony, and well, her crew, and talking about this in studio. And if you haven't seen that, you got to catch that video or that episode. But
no,
but wait a second.
Oh, sorry.
The fact that I lost my train of thought, except to say that we need answers on this, and we have to push for the answers. We've got to demand them. I don't know what else to say, because if you are one of the family members that had a deceased or had someone killed in this, wouldn't you really be
furious?
Thank you. I was going to say something else.
And then you have to ask the question, should we expect to see President Trump ask questions? Should we expect Jeff Sessions to, I mean, at some point, shouldn't we see some leadership from these people, from the head of the DOJ, from the President of the United States, asking for answers, or giving some kind of explanation as to why we're not getting them? At some point, they have to get involved?
Well, there's precedent for the Justice Department getting involved in local cases. I mean, when it comes right down to
it. Yeah, look at Ferguson.
But this really is a murder case. It's just 58 counts of murder. This is a murder case, murder investigation. So the authority, at least in my view, the authority to handle this and to prosecute going forward would rest with the local authorities. The invitation for the FBI to come in is by invitation. However, it seems the other way around now. I mean, don't forget jurisdiction. All right, if you're the sheriff in Vegas, you're the boss.
No, you know what? In Vegas, the coroner is the highest ranking law enforcement officer.
In some counties.
That's what they said in the video. The police officer even said yes. That kind of threw me off, because I've never heard that before.
Yeah, in some counties, it's a weird political structure.
It's not right.
Because you've got some coroners and then some medical examiners. It goes county by county, state by state. So, okay.
I wanted to ask you, does that mean the coroner has power of arrest?
Actually, it's via inquest, yes, in certain cases. But that aside, at the local level, the authorities are local authorities are the most powerful. So, I mean, they take person over the FBI. The FBI can't walk in; they've got to be invited, and they just can't walk in to take over a case unless it's a. There's some caveats, or unless it's a federal case, but and then only on the federal end of it. As well, but so, yeah. Does the sheriff want to get reelected? I mean, but the liability aspect, and I go back to this, and I was talking to Keith Hansen about this, having worked the liability work for insurance companies that were attempting to, and Fortune 100 companies attempting to protect their liability or get out of the way of liability suits, negligence suits. I can see where this would be a motive. However, and I can see where the revised timeline. By the way, New York Times did a revised timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I could see where that would help with the potential for lawsuits.
The New York Times did more than the Sheriff's Department. They actually put together
the acoustics,
a reconstruction.
Yes,
kind of graphics that take you through, you know, what it was like, what doors were where, what shots came from, you know, what angles. And it was much more than the police or the FBI have come out with or given. And, you know, what really bothers me about when you talk about a cover-up, isn't there standard operating procedures in any type of investigation, whether it's local law enforcement or federal, where they have to release the investigative findings as to, you know, how many bullets were fired, how many people were shot, how many people were injured from gunshots versus other injuries? you know, how many people died, you know, and where their, what she said from the autopsy report. Doesn't there have to be
the simplest
release of information?
I don't think there's any, there's no law that compels, a law enforcement agency to release that information. It's just standard practice. And, it's a, they're public, they work, they're public service. They work, servants. They work for the taxpayers. So, no law that requires disclosure, but certainly good policy and standard practices. So yes and no to answer your question. I mean, I cannot think of a normal case where they wouldn't.
No. I've never heard of anything. I mean, just thinking on the other side to the extreme, I mean, shows like, the first 48 where they, you know, show the case from the point of a detective arriving on the crime scene to, you know, going through the case, investigating, interviewing witnesses, to capturing the suspect, interviewing the suspect, and until they're, you know, the case is closed.
Right.
I wish we had something like that on this case. And this is, you know, the worst mass shooting in American history. And the media, like I asked her about the, Laura, about the order given to the
yes.
media. Because it does. It seemed like a blanket order was issued. Don't ask questions. You know, and everything about this, from the Jesus Campos interview on Ellen to the media's lack of conviction and wanting to get to the truth, it stinks. It seems like everybody's complicit in this cover up. And nobody cares for the truth.
That Ellen interview, in my view, that was MGM, Mandalay Bay, management of liability and management of information, creating a choke point. And see, it doesn't take a lot of people to control, you know, information. Some people say, well, it couldn't have happened this way because you'd have to control all these people. That, no, you just control certain choke points of information and you're able to change a lot, as we saw with this. That's why don't dismiss the conspiratorial aspect of this. Like she said, we don't know. I don't even know if we don't even know if it was Paddock. We don't know. We don't know anything when it comes right down to it, except that, a lot of people were shot. 58, died. And, they're blaming it on Paddock, and of course, Campos is a hero. That's the narrative.
That is the narrative. And Laura Loomer mentioned the release of the CIA Kennedy documents. There's some developments on this, and there's some different storylines coming out of this. On the front of Drudge, there's a headline: "Spooks suppress select JFK docs." And that goes to an article on the Washington Post and New York Times, but there's also a Daily Mail article. Trump orders new JFK cover-up as he puts off releasing some assassination files for 6 months so spies can black out portions of the paper.
Yeah, how's
that's
that working out for you guys?
But basically, there was a law in 1992 that required the president to release all government documents related to the 1963 assassination of the Kennedy, of John Kennedy by Thursday, today. Now, some loophole is giving the White House an extra week or 2 weeks. They're going to be releasing the 2,800 pages tonight.
Right.
But the most meaningful
via
details
the National Archives, by the way.
The most meaningful details will likely be blacked out and pages to come during the next week. So, but I've seen another report that says that Trump is not allowing the intelligence agencies to black out anything, and they will still be releasing the documents, mostly today and then throughout the next week or two. So I'm seeing conflicting reports on this both ways, but Trump himself put out a tweet earlier this week saying he will release the JFK files. I wonder if there isn't some infighting going on about this, or if there isn't a deep state versus Trump type conflict with the release of these documents, because he was very clear that he would release all the documents.
Well, subject
any,
to additional.
But whose authority above his could say no? Well, you can release these, but you're going to hold off on these until we can go over them again. And something doesn't seem right here. There's over 5 million pages related to this
in total, but 3,800 coming out to the.
Right. 11% have not been released.
All right, but the bottom line is, look, if you think you're going to learn, if there's going to be a smoking gun in these documents, you know, good luck with that. It's not going to be there. And meanwhile, today we can't find out diddly on what's going on in Vegas. And people, and don't you find it really interesting that people are okay, seem to be okay with that? Most Americans, how many Americans just say, oh, that's right, there was that shooting in Las Vegas. For crying out loud, get angry or start paying attention and start get
yeah,
moving.
I mean,
demand the information. We're doing it. I mean, we're
even even though a majority of people still are looking for information on Las Vegas, but other people are saying, you know, move on. It's turning into a distraction.
Move on to what? When move on. And no one died. Okay, those two statements really piss me off.
Yeah, because we are able to handle multiple investigations at once. We could have a major event like Las Vegas happen every day, and we would be able to keep track of them each individually and independently. And until this is cleared up, until we understand what happened and why it happened, we're not going to move on from it. We should have moved on from 9/11.
I'm working a 40-year-old unsolved homicide,
mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was a son, it was a father, it was a brother, and I'm not moving on. And you shouldn't move on from this death until this was an assault on our nation, on the people of our nation. And shame on you if you're one to say, "Well, let's move on. It's just nothing but a distraction." A distraction from what? 58 people were murdered and others injured. Let's get to the bottom. Let's get to the truth. Let's demand the truth.
Yeah, I mean, if no information is forthcoming by the police in 50 years, if we're still here, people will still be talking about what happened in Las Vegas. We are up against our network break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Amy Knight. Her book, Orders to Kill. It's going to be very interesting. It deals with Putin and the Russia regime, the Putin regime, and political murder. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.